wit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk for a little while from the subject hypocrites who hinder the work of God in his house. Hypocrites who hinder the work of God in his house. If you back up a few verses in the seventh chapter, you're going to note that the word makes clear that Jesus himself in verse 14 says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." So he's in the church now. He's ministering the word of God. He's dealing with them as some are doubting his authority and authenticity as one sent by God to deliver not only the word of God, but do the works of God. And Jesus has to minister according to the word, the realities of who he is and those who are like him, how they get their anointing and authority, and that comes from the one who sent them, which is God the Father. Amen. He deals continually in this line of reasoning with them, helping them to understand that if they really were sincere and serious about who he was, all they had to really do was listen at what he said. The messenger is never greater than the message. And the message always shares the reality of who the messenger is based upon what God intends for not only the messenger to say, but the hearers to hear. Jesus was making clear if he had sent himself, it would be all about him. And all those who send themselves, it's all about them. But because it's all about God, there is no need to make a play on words or a show on words or to steal any glory from God, because he has been sent by God to bring forth the word, which makes clear the will and shows unto men the way of God. Now he deals with this, and then he, in verse 19, says, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep it the law?" Mm-hmm. Now Jesus is starting to say, now wait a minute, now let's take the camera and turn it back on you now. You want to come at me like I'm doing something wrong, because, and he knows what their issue really is, because they are traditional. They are caught up in their own demise and in their own operation of doing things, save that they make seem holy, taking really the essence of what God really meant, and because they get some glory out of demonstrating and turning the cameras on them and keeping the praise and glory for them and not doing it so that God gets the glory or the people get the good, it winds up being a Sunday morning show for those who are on stage presenting and acting for their own glory. I need to tell you, that still goes on today. And you got to be careful. That's why you've got to know the word for yourself to be able to judge whether or not the word is being presented fully and thoroughly as God would have it to, or you've got some folk up there turning the attention to themselves and away from what God is really trying to say to his people. So Jesus deals with this, and then he says, now you want to play like you're so holy. He says, listen, did not Moses give you the law? You know the word, and yet none of you keepeth the law or the word. And listen to what he says. And yet none of you keepeth the law. He said, you're not even doing what you already know. And now they're getting on him because he's doing some stuff that is far beyond and far removed from them, when all of this in scriptures prophesy about the reality of Jesus, his coming, and what he was to do as the Messiah, and to know him according to the word. Now listen again to what the word says. Why go ye about to kill me? Now I'm really the word personified. You're looking at the living word. Yes. You got issues with me because you really don't know the word. Because if you really knew the word, you'd know me. Because I was sent from my Father to minister this word. Now the verse 20 says, the people answered and said, thou hast the devil. Yes, indeed. Then they asked the question, who goes about to kill you? Who's trying to, man, you done lost your mind. Now remember, now he's in the church. These are church folk talking to him. I've learned a whole lot about church folk from the word. Church folk might be folk in the church, but the church ain't in a lot of folk. And you sit by some of them folk who are in church, but the church ain't in. And sometimes when they say stuff that's out of the word of God, outside of the word of God, outside of the will of God, outside of the way of God, you got some church folk there, but there ain't no Christian folk. So don't get disturbed about it, because God might have you sitting next to one of these hypocrites to help them. Don't get scared because you might be sitting by them. I'm trying to tell you truth here today. Let me just throw out parenthetically again, because I get people telling me, you know, that somebody else disturbs my worship and so forth and so on. If people are here for the glory of God, to truly worship God, to do what's right, if somebody is disturbing your worship by talking, somebody's disturbing your worship by doing other things other than what they're there to do, or if they have gotten to the point where they're so radical in their worship that they are invading your worship, if you have God in you, there's a way to tell your brother, your sister, listen, brother, sister, this is out of order, or it's hindering me. If my praise hinders you, then I've got a problem. Now listen at me well. If I'm praising you outside of the way that God intends for me to praise you, there is a difference between my private praise and my public praise. In my private praise, there is a limitless and free reality for me to praise him however long, however much, however radical I want. But if I'm in a public praise, there's some things I can't do in my public praise that I can do in my private praise. Listen at this. I can dance out of my clothes at home in my private praise. I promise you, if I danced out of my clothes, it wouldn't be holy for a whole lot of you or me. I just want to be free. Well, you do that at home. And here you're free in the spirit. So hear me and understand what I'm trying to say, because you don't want your praise, your prayer, you don't want your work, your witness, nor your work to be evil spoken. The Bible said, don't let your good be evil spoken. Look, now understand me here again, because you've got some folk here who are hindering Jesus, who are church folk. But they're not Christians. I want you to see this. The Bible says, the people answered and said, thou hast the devil. Why do you think they asked that Jesus had a devil? Now remember again, now these are folk who don't have the spirit. And folk who don't have the spirit can't really discern things of the spirit. So the reason why they said he had a devil was because they who had devils could identify another devil. Somebody ain't hearing me here. You don't understand me. It takes one. So they weren't in the spirit. And so because they weren't in the spirit, they did not understand the things of the spirit. And so they who were familiar with devil activity and possession figured Jesus, because he's acting so different. And you got to remember, in demonic worlds and realities, there are so many variations of demonic spirits. And some of them saw different applications and operations of demonic spirit. So they just thought this was a new devil here. I've never seen this kind of devil before. Now listen, everybody. Then they ask the question, who goeth about to kill thee? Man, ain't nobody trying to bother you. And they didn't know again what Jesus was referring to. The Bible says, verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work. One work. And ye all marvel. One work. Well, I knew you would be curious as to find out what that one work was. So let's turn back to the fifth chapter of John and just see if we can find that one work. In the 10th verse of the 5th chapter of John, the word says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them and said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. Now, while the man who was once devastated with a disease that kept him crippled and could not move, he got a word from Jesus that healed him on the Sabbath day. Now listen to this. On the Sabbath day. And that was, again, a miracle, a working of God on the Lord's day that they should have rejoiced at. Amen. But because they couldn't do it. Yes. And if they could, they wouldn't do it because they were so traditional and caught up in the law rather than in the spirit. They did not adhere to the movement of God's spirit in helping and healing and aiding and folk becoming whole. And what better day to celebrate that than on God's day? Amen. Now listen at this. And so Jesus tells him on the Sabbath day to take up his bed and walk. Yes. Now, they say, we ain't got no problem with him telling him get up off the bed. But it's Sabbath day, leave the bed alone and just walk on without it. But the reason Jesus wanted him to take up the bed was because the bed was a witness. Listen to me well. The bed that carried him on many Sabbath days. Before he met Jesus. And now after he had an encounter with Jesus on the Sabbath day, Jesus said, let's flip the script. The bed that was a witness for you saying that you've been crippled and couldn't move and others had to carry you, now let me heal you and let you carry the bed. And everywhere you go with the bed on the Sabbath day, it'll be a witness to somebody that I got my healing on the Sabbath day, and this bed is my witness. You got to understand, some folk don't know you when you've been changed. They only remember the old you. So the bed was the old them. Somebody ain't hearing me here today. So when they see the bed, he'll say, aha, I was the one on the bed. Now the bed. Oh, I wish I had somebody in the house. It's all in chapter and verse 1 through 9 in this 5th chapter. And the Bible says, look at the 9th verse. The Bible says, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Yeah, yeah. Listen to this. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, do you know what that said against all of those stiff-necked, hard-hearted church folk who got up there with all of the pretense and all of the rest of that, and people came in crippled and left out crippled, came in hurting, left out hurting, came in messed out, left out worse, all of that, and didn't know that they had the ability right there in their midst to receive the word, the will, the way, and line up and get what was theirs. See that happen in their very midst.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And because it cast a light on them that they didn't like. Because they were playing church. And Jesus was having church. And when you have church, things happen. When you play church, things stay the same. And so there the reality was that Jesus did something that stirred them up that they didn't like because he was real. Yes. Now listen at this. Listen at this. When you go back to the scripture and began to see Jesus telling them, all this because I did one word. I could imagine them saying, if you think you're sorry now, if you think you're mad now, if you don't like what you just witnessed now, because you know what? Some folk don't really want all of that when they come to church. I didn't want the preacher get on up, preach a little message. Want the choir sing a little song. Don't go on to that extended version. Sing a little song. I don't want nobody clapping all loud and all wild around me. I don't want nobody shouting. I want nobody stepping on my feet. I don't. You better not hit me. I don't want. You know, you got some folk who just come to church and they want everything to be like them dead. I don't clap. I don't believe folk ought to be around me clapping. Don't take all that. You know, they come there just cold, and if they're not dead, they're so close to it, you almost have to put something on their nose, see if they're breathing. Church on fire all around them. They're looking like, I mean, like just, you know, they're dead. Hey. Listen, look at what the word says. He says something to Moses, therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers or the patriarchs. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. On the Sabbath day, you circumcise a man or man child. Verse 23, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man completely, that's what every with means, whole on the Sabbath day? Now you got to remember, Jesus makes clear that the Sabbath day was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus makes clear that the word of God, the will of God, the way of God supersedes anything on this earth. Whatever God desires to do, he's sovereign. He can do what he will. That Sabbath day was a day of rest for man. And in that, listen again, what God told them, they took and they added to and they expounded upon, and they took one simple law and they magnified it so great with all of their tradition and customs till it was distorted. Yeah. So much so that it handicapped God and the work of God, because hypocrites who put into what God said what they wanted so that they would be able to begin to receive, I guess, some glory, some praise, or whatever it is, so to structure it so that it would meet their needs more than it was the original needs of God, which was to meet man's needs of rest and fellowship with him. Uh-huh. Now, if God is saying, and Jesus is saying, you who honor Moses more by trying to keep a law and not breaking a law of Moses are forgetting where Moses got his law from. Now, if you're going to hold on to what Moses say, and matter of fact, let me throw this back at you. You want to throw this out like you want to hold on to the law. He said, but you got the law and you still don't keep it. So, before you get to criticizing, hypocritically so, why don't you do what you say you're supposed to do first before you start trying to tell me about what I'm doing? You see, when you move out of the arena of normalcy and commonplace, folk get scared. What are you doing? That ain't on the program. What? You know, we can save a whole lot of money not printing programs and just moving by the flow of God. That might be the problem why some of y'all sleep. You wait until you get to your favorite part on the program. Wake me up when we get to this part. But when you come waiting to hear a word from God, waiting to be a part of what God wants to do, come with a spirit of expectation. Matt, listen at this. You don't know what God will do for you. But some of us, we're so hypocritical. It ain't really about God. We come in on Sunday morning and do our time. I got to go to church in the morning. I can't. Man, don't let you go over your time. That's when you really get to see who's.
That's it.
Listen at this. He comes down to verse 24, and he says something so plain and yet so powerful. He says, judge not according to the appearance. Judge not according to the appearance. Now, of course, he's talking about that is earthly, that is viewed in terms of the natural. Talking about what you perceive from visual effect. Some folk can't get right if what they see doesn't line up with logic. Just like some of you here today who didn't know it was Cycle Sunday. Think I forgot what day of the week it was and just showed up like that. Some of you can't receive this word because I ain't dressed up in a suit. I got news for you. You can get ready. There's going to be many more days like this. Yeah, here. Could this feel good? I don't mind you wearing all your fine stuff, but you know what? I'm going to jump up in some windsuit sometime. Come on up here. And if you can't get the word because you're looking at me, close your eyes. It ain't about me, it's about him. And a whole lot of folk, and I'm so serious about this, miss their blessing because they're looking at the natural. Hung up on what they see. And I got news for you. The only problem is with seeing is you don't see everything. You see that is in front of you or that is close enough for you to gaze upon, but you don't see all that is connected with what you see at the time you see it.
That's it.
The problem with what you see is most times it's the last part or the last development or the last part of the process of the situation. You are not able to see the beginning to the end. So when you come and make a judgment call on what you see, you don't know what the problem was. What's more important? If somebody came to church with all they had on, and it might have been some dirty clothes, it might have been a holy clothes, and I don't mean holy as in godly neither. I mean stuff that would not be something you would wear to church. Would you still receive them and fellowship and embrace them as brothers and sisters? Or would it be more important for you to say, you know what, I'm going to wait till they get themselves together because they either own drugs or they got this problem or that problem. You don't know what folk have gone through. They could have just had a house fire and just put on whatever they had just to be able to come to the house of God and say, God, I thank you. My life wasn't burned up in that house. But no, you're going to sit in judgment on them.
Amen.
Because it doesn't look like church folk ought to look on Sunday morning. We got some bikers here. I want all the bikers to stand up. Quick. All right, look at here. Come on, give the bikers some hands. God bless you. Y'all didn't know I was a biker. I know y'all didn't know that. Brother McCants told me I ain't no real biker, though, because real bikers ride in the rain and real bikers ride long distances. I got a bike I ain't put over 600 miles on from last year. Same time. I'm a biker in spirit. I ain't got time to ride as much as some of the other folk I enjoy. But listen, I'm saying this to say very sincerely that too many of us base our opinions and our judgments on what we see. And that's going to be the downfall and the destruction of many of your blessings. What you see is not always what you get. Some of us, if we were to see a diamond the size of a baseball in the rough, we'd walk right over it. If we were in the diamond mines and happened to have seen something, because it's not the way that we are accustomed to seeing a diamond cut with the brilliance and the fire showing, it would be right where it is for many of us because we don't know how to detect something beyond the surface. You can't always judge a book by the cover. Can't always judge a book by the cover.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Of Kelly's 30th anniversary. It reads, "For all the prayers and support for Kelly's sitting services through the years, we say thank you. It has been a matter of joy to provide great services to clients like you. Kelly's has been fortunate enough to have loyal families as clients throughout the years and loyal employees who love and support God's people. Your dedication, sincerity, and perseverance have made a significant contribution to the continuation of this business that Kelly started 30 years ago on May 23, 1993 in Boise, Louisiana, and has extended its love to the state of Texas. Our prayer is continued blessings on your life as this agency moves forward in its mission to care for our community. To past employee alumni, again, thanks to you for your support, hard work, dedication, and commitment to changing lives one day at a time. To those who have chosen Kelly's as their in-home care provider, you are a part of our Kelly's fam. Kelly's wants to express our heartfelt gratitude, love, and appreciation, and say thank you. With love, from the Washingtons and the staff of Kelly's Sitting Services, another proud sponsor of KAYT. KQJO-FM.
When I saw that morning, thought I'd fly away, but to my God's letters, hey, I'll fly away, Lord, I'll